It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we'll become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
Calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland, and Neil, I'm not good.
Oh, no.
Another 15 to 20 centimeters of snow will be falling tomorrow.
No.
So that's April 24th?
Oh, dear.
20 centimeters, and I knew there was a problem when I actually put the snow shovel away. So that's what I have to look forward to.
17 degrees and sunny in Toronto here, and I put away my winter coats today. So.
It was beautiful in New York.
Yeah. Springtime in New York.
Yes. I'm in New York. All right. And for everyone else, please send your comments, questions, your weather reports to Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, feedback@songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Today, we're very pleased to welcome New York-based duet New Middle Class to the show. Joining us tonight is Mike and Barbara Borak. How are you guys
doing? Hey, guys.
Hello.
Great to have you on the show. So glad you could join us.
Thank you.
And before we get to New Middle Class's great stuff, in case you've been living under a rock, this new band has been blowing up on over the internet. No one's really sure how to pronounce them. It's Engine de Poitrine. Something like that, en français.
Oh yeah, yeah, they are terrific.
They're kind of crazy. You know, you're taken in by the costumes, which are pretty inventive and neat, and then you get into the microtonalities and the crazy rhythms and the ridiculously engineered microtonal guitar, double guitar bass that the dude's using. Like, it's pretty phenomenal stuff. Is this the future of music? That's the question.
I remember looking at their stuff and thought it was very French. It did remind me of Cirque du Soleil. Okay. And they are French, apparently, but they're Quebec,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, from Quebec. Canadian, go Canada.
I'm so pleased that something that is so unusual has gotten so much response from people who are not math rock nerds.
Yeah, well, I think the costumes really, really provide the way in for a lot of people. But mm-hmm. But the music is just mind-blowing.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's, you know, my cup of tea. I'm not a math rock guy by any stretch, you know, but I did watch the good old David Bennett on YouTube. He did a little, not quite a reaction video, but an examination video about the microtonality aspects of their music. And it was pretty interesting what he's saying, because they go microtonality in the horizontal in terms of, you know, melodies going up and down through microtones, but in the vertical, i.e. the harmony that they build, the chords that they build, are still like major chords, minor chords. There's nothing dissonant about the harmonies. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting examination. The second thing he pointed out was that they're not making giant leaps in melody. Everything's very kind of small steps mm-hmm. here and there. Because if they made giant leaps to microtones, it would sound like a really odd and dissonant melody. Right. But because they're just going up and beep, 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 just going up and down the microtones, it sounds a little more believable, digestible. I don't know what the wording would be, but you know, it's just easier to get, I guess.
It's an important part of aesthetics, is that if you're going to do something that's clashing, if everything is clashing, it is just chaos. And if that's what you're going for, that's okay. But if you want something to be digestible, you want some things that are unusual, but some things that are not, so that there's some kind of grounding in stuff that people understand. And if you are pushing the envelope, always try to keep something that's in the now, so people can have something to go off of, and you'll get probably a bit more better response. Even though, and this is from someone who likes a lot of weird music, so
I do have my favorite share of weird music, but yeah, this whole question of simplicity versus complexity, of course, that's something that's kind of consumed my brain last few years. Over things. But speaking of which, segue time, this past week we have dropped our songwriting challenge for 2026, which is to write a traditional country song. And of course, the segue part of this is that simplicity versus complexity, because as we discussed on the show with Blair Packham in introducing this challenge, you know, chords tend to be dead simple, 1-4-5, maybe a minor six,
yeah,
right? So where do you introduce complexity? It's going to be in the lyrics, right? Is your story compelling? Are the emotional hits really hitting? Those sorts of things. So I think that's going to be the struggle.
and don't forget the rhythm.
Yeah. And of course the rhythms. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But you don't have to write it on a segue. So I know you were mentioning that. So.
You better watch where you're going if you're...
It's true. Those things have killed a lot of people, you know?
If you're staring down at your phone, jotting down lyrics, you're going to get into a collision.
That is... Before we get taken off into another tangent, let's get on.
All right. So yeah, check out songtalk.ca, the songwriting challenges page, where we have all the songwriting challenges we've done over the past number of years. And of course, the new one is up there with already a couple of resources. I found a video from a YouTuber, Songs with Spencer, who I've been following for the last little while. And he happened to do one on just how to make those lyrics, you know, hit with some very, very simple tools that you can follow, which is kind of a cool little thing and a good way to get started on a challenge like this, I think. So yeah, definitely check out the website, and we will continue to talk about it in the next few months, and looking forward to, you know, our answers and our listeners' answers in the fall sometime. Awesome. Okay. All right, on to the main event. Mike Borak is a singer-songwriter from New York's Hudson Valley. He and his wife Barbara perform under the name New Middle Class. They've released 5 albums and played venues from local coffee houses to major festivals. They describe their original music as playfully serious, heartfelt, and slightly bent middle-class pop rock. Mike has been a finalist or semifinalist in many top songwriting contests. Honors include first place music to Life Song Contest in Kerrville, Texas, and first place music for Humanity Songwriting Contest. His songs have been included on 6 compilation CDs. The band's new single, Homer, is streaming everywhere with a YouTube video created by Barbara, and their songs and videos can also be found on their website, newmiddleclass.com. Television Sky won first place in folk in the Mid-Atlantic Song Contest and finalist for Adult Contemporary in the UK Songwriting Contest. So before we get to your song, Mike, is it strictly you, Mike, that does the songwriting, or do you guys actually share some of the songwriting duties?
Yeah, no, it's very strictly me. there's one song that I think Barbara has songwriting credit on, but in general, I'm the songwriter.
Uh-huh, I see.
I critique.
Okay. Yeah. She tells you what she thinks of them, right? Which is a very important part of the process. Okay. Yeah, it is. It is. Well, that's why, you know, that's why we have our meetup group as well, for getting feedback from other people, from strangers, let alone, you know, your wife. Okay. Tonight we'll be talking to Mike and Barbara about their song Television Sky. Be sure to download the lyric sheet on the show post at songtalk.ca to follow along. Let's take a listen.
He always wanted to drive that car. He really wanted to have that girl. But for guys like him, it could only happen in a television world. She always wanted to look that good. She never wanted to be so shy. But she would not resist a small screen kiss under a television sky. A television sky, a technicolor moon. You never have to leave your living room. And on the day you die, actresses will cry in the artificial rain from the television sky. He always wanted to be that tough. She had a weakness for blue eyes, though they had not yet met through the TV set. They shared a television sky, a television sky, a technicolor moon.
drifted off in the blue screen light, and she found herself on a windswept beach.
And he drifted into the blue screen night, where he found himself on the same white sand. And her lips met his as the music swelled, and the moon seemed almost within their reach. And they walked on past the supporting cast, when the scene was changed by an trouble brewing in paradise. There were complications and surprises, cops and monsters, guns and knives, and messages from advertisers. Parties where the laughs rang hollow, moments of uncomfortable silence, twisted plots too hard to follow, incidents of for the remote control as the credits rolled against the television sky. A television sky, a technicolor moon. You never have to leave your living room. And on the day you die, actresses will cry in the artificial rain from the television sky. The technicolor moon, you never have to leave your living room. On the day you die, actresses will cry in the artificial rain from the television sky.
Nice.
Yeah. Interesting. Your verses and your chorus are very tight in terms of your rhyme schemes and your line and syllable count, but your bridge is totally off.
Yes, the bridge is kind of crazy.
Yeah, the bridge is super weird.
So what was the thinking behind that?
Well, it kind of goes back to the entire song structure and what it's about. So just to take a step back, you know, this song is, you know, it's a very artificial song. It's about artifice. It's about it's about the superficiality of television and media in general. And so the general concept, it's kind of different from some of the other songs that we do. Other songs might try to be writing from the heart, really capturing real people and emotions. This song kind of has cliches in it, and that's part of the intention of the song, because the whole television environment is just so full of cliches. So I wanted to have that reflected in the song. And because the structure of the song is, it starts out with the guy and the girl in two separate places watching their own TVs. And then mysteriously they somehow fall into the television set. And then that's kind of where the bridge goes. So suddenly they're in a place where they're in TV land, and things start changing, like the channels change. And every time the channel changes, something else is different. And so I wanted to capture that, you know, that feeling of falling into that television world by doing a bridge that changed rhyme scheme, changed rhythm, and definitely changed the chord structure.
That's a very fine example of pushing the narrative idea and then reflecting it musically, reflecting it in the lyrics, reflecting in the whole, you know, the way you're doing everything, really. And that's, you know, we like to refer to that as prosody, where the ideas and the lyrics and the music all line up and follow the sort of thesis of the story, right? Because if they are falling into this thing, you're entering this place where it's kind of it is a surreal environment, right? It's not something that you would expect to see on a daily basis, and then you know it just sort of drops you in and then gets super weird. Because yeah, it feels right. The rest of the verses and choruses are very sing-songy and easy breezy and kind of.
Yeah, they're not just sing-song. They rise and they fall. They're yes. It's just a 4-5-1 circling around with a little minor thrown in. So it goes up, it goes down, it goes up and goes down, but it doesn't go anywhere else chordally until the bridge.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, it's all highly formal in those things. But I love the internal rhymes. Resist a small screen kiss. You know, on the you die, actresses will cry. Like it's just the quick rhymes and stuff make it super catchy and memorable. Like I would listen to this a few days ago when you sent it to us a couple of days ago, and I had it going through my head for the rest of the day for sure. So yeah, except for the bridge, I did not have the bridge. The bridge is interesting because every time I've heard the bridge, I've been looking at the lyric sheet. I wonder how this song could be experienced. You know, just. You know, on Spotify and not quite in the background, but you know, as you're listening without access to the lyric sheet, it's always a strange thing, you know, with us and you know, talking about songs that way, but they're not really meant to be digested this way. They're meant to be digested just in the air, right?
Well, for me, the bridge becomes, you know, we're talking TV, they're in their little TV lands, but to me, it becomes cinematic at that point. Like it just kind of whoosh and goes into this other scene, which just, that's what it feels like to me. And that's the feeling I get when I'm singing it. It just kind of explodes in the middle into the guitar solo, you know, yeah. Giant screen.
Do you start off with music, or is this something you wrote off? You wrote the lyrics to, and then brought the lyric music in later. How does that work for you?
I write in all different ways. This particular song, I'm pretty sure was lyric driven. And again, I wrote the. I remember writing the bridge, and I remember thinking, "What the heck am I going to do with this?" Mm-hmm. You know, because it was a challenge to find, you know, to find ways to convey the changes in the bridge.
So you wrote all the lyrics first, and then did the music.
Yeah, I think so. It's been a while. This was a song from our first album.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. It could have been the thing, but you had the intention. Sounds like it was there from the start that the bridge was going to be something like a really strong departure from the rest of the song.
For sure.
Is that a normal? Do you guys normally write bridges and make them really high contrast?
Well, not high contrast in the same way as this song. This is probably the highest contrast you can get.
I don't mean quite in this way, but yeah. at least with a difference.
But speaking of bridges, is you know, bridges actually mean a lot to me in the sense that I think for example, like Marshall Crenshaw. The bridges of his song just are so melodic and so catchy that, you know, for a lot of songwriters or for a lot of songs, a bridge is just someplace to get from here to there. And it doesn't do a hell of a lot. It just connects something. But Marshall Crenshaw's bridges are just, you know, songs in themselves. And stepping back from that, you know, also, you know, Beatles were a huge influence growing up, and their bridges were always like you couldn't imagine the song without the bridge.
And that's
really what I'm going for. I want the bridge to change something. It shouldn't just be the same chords and the same melody. It should go to a different note, different chords if possible, and just be really refreshing to the ear and to the story if it's lyrics driven.
It's great that you mentioned Marshall Crenshaw, because I'm a huge Marshall Crenshaw fan. Mm. I discovered him. I worked in a record store for a while, and someone bought a Talking Heads record and brought it back. And on one side, there was the album with Burning Down the House. I can't remember which one that was. And then on the other side, there was this band. and which was not the Talking Heads. And it was like, well, I should have kept it. I just didn't know back then. But it was Talking Heads on one side, and then it was Marshall Crenshaw. And I just put this album on, and it was great. He wrote music that like the Sex Pistols never happened. And at that time, it was really, you know, it was very post-punk. There was a lot of that kind of stuff. And Marshall's Crenshaw stuff was so kind of pure, and these like fantastically power pop guitars, and he's a great songwriter.
Wow.
And that was The Field Day, which is a great album. And so listen to his stuff. He's a great songwriter. And if you're a songwriter, it's just so well done. You'll appreciate all the craftsmanship that goes into it. And it's just...
And he would like drop beats and do some crazy rhythmic stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I have to check out Marshall Crenshaw. I've never heard that name before. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
Curious to check it out, because it's been a revelation for me over the last few years, where I realized kind of, almost all of a sudden, and I can even name the song where this happened to me, where I realized that the bridge, often in a lot of my favorite songs, the high point of the song is the bridge, not the chorus. The chorus is good in high point, but then the bridge amps it up even more, stronger melody, stronger energy, like in terms of an energy map of a song, is like verse and then chorus and then bridge is even higher. And the song that did it for me was Mayor of Simpleton by XTC.
XTC, which is a fantastic one of our all-time favorite bands.
Wait a minute, this bridge is the key to this song.
Well, we'd spend hours talking about XTC there. Yeah. With amazing band.
How much editing did this song take, or did it kind of crank out pretty quickly?
Well, first of all, I have to kind of give a shout out to Mark Shulman, who played the guitar on this. He's a wonderful guitarist, and Steve Meltzer, who played drums. We recorded this song in a combination of at a studio and also at my home studio. So there wasn't a whole lot that we could really do at the home studio, because I was recording it on an 8-track. We couldn't keep the alternate takes. I remember one moment from the recording of this song was Mark played a solo, and the solo was fabulous. And he said, I don't really like that. Let me do another one. And I couldn't have him do another one without erasing that one. And I said, no, forget it, Mark. That was it. And that's the one that you just heard today. Right, so on. I've never regretted that decision.
Yeah.
And then the drums were done in a local studio. So not a lot of editing per se. That was a song performed, you know, just in a studio.
How about in the writing process? Do you go through and sort of go over the lyrics with a fine tooth comb, or do they just kind of come out and that's it?
Oh, I work on the lyrics, yeah. Songwriting is kind of a magical thing. I'm sure you guys know. You think you're in control. You think you have an idea, but then the song just kind of has a life of its own, and things just start assembling themselves. But you do have to be careful, because you know, as a songwriter, a lot of times your first instinct is, okay, well, I want to make it rhyme. Let's go for the obvious rhyme. And that's not necessarily a good thing to do. So I'm really focused on having the song say exactly what I want it to say, and really work and to be ruthless. I can't tell you how many lines I've thrown out because they weren't right. So you just have to keep poking at it and poking at it. And all of a sudden you look at it and you say, oh, it was always meant to be this way. Now it works.
Yeah, well, once you land on it, it seems obvious. Why didn't you think of this before? But you do have to go through those steps. Is that something that's changed over the years with you? Like, where did you take the easy route out before, and now you're a little more?
I've learned how to be more ruthless with myself.
Right, so you weren't as ruthless in the past.
That's right. It was good enough before. Now it's not good enough. I'd have to really keep working at it until it's right.
I appreciate what he writes. The language is. Like you would speak that language, you know, like the lyrics have to feel natural. And I appreciate that when I'm trying to sing.
Yeah. I try to go for natural language and And also, it's a little bit of a challenge because I do actually like to have those multi-syllable words. So
technicolor
multi-syllable words that roll off the tongue and don't sound artificial is another bit of a challenge. But when it works, right. It works well.
Yeah, yeah. You got a couple of three-syllable words.
You're also writing for someone else. You know, when you're writing for your own singing voice, is one thing. Trying to write for someone else so that they can sing it and it suits their voice and their delivery is a challenge in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Our recordings, we both take turns doing lead vocals. So she gets to do all the beautiful and hard to sing songs.
Very hard to sing.
And I get to do all the really, really negative, challenging songs.
Uh-huh. No, but is that a thing, though, when you're writing for your own voice versus writing for Barbara? Do you have different considerations? Is there something you would write for yourself, but you wouldn't write for her, or vice versa?
Probably true. If the song really tends to be going to the black side, which a lot of times when I write a song, the approach that I take is, okay, here's the general idea. Now, how can I turn it on its head and write it a different way than anybody else has done it? Let's just take it from the opposite point of view. And so sometimes when it goes too far in that direction, that's definitely a song I'm going to be singing.
Yeah,
really. I can dark, see it. I can see it happening.
So if it's happier and bubblier, it tends to be Barbara's.
Usually. Yeah. That song, right. Some Dr. Bones. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some interesting songs.
Yeah. Sometimes I make her sing the challenging ones as well.
Yeah. 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 That's always a trick too.
Does working together on these songs, does it ever provide fodder for disagreement, or does everything go pretty smooth?
Probably more in the recording than the songwriting itself. Yeah. Hmm. I'll put some instruments on and Barbara will say, "Oh, too busy." Yeah. And I'll say, "Oh, but you're not hearing it the way I'm hearing it." Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to edit it anyway later. But songwriting wise, I think it's more along the lines of I'll write a song and maybe she'll say, "I don't really like that one. That one's really not that good." And then sometimes it will turn out that she actually loves that song later on.
That is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it could work in the other direction.
There was one song. It's called Roadkill Rescue. Okay. And Mike just had lyrics for it for many years. He didn't write the music till a year or so ago, right?
Yeah.
And I just maybe read the first verse or two, and I just was like, oh, this is a terrible song.
She thought it was really about roadkill. She didn't know it was a metaphor.
All of a sudden, I heard the bridge. I was like, oh, it's a metaphor. Yeah, okay. Oh, I love this song. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's one of my favorites, actually. Yeah.
And she made a really nice video of it, by the way, if you ever want to check that out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely check that out. Oh, is that the one with the raccoon?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was super clever. Yeah, that was pretty cute too. Yeah, is that a thing for you too, Barbara? Do you ever want to put more of your hand in the songwriting process?
I just have not worked on that. I do have a song that I have been ruminating over for the last 30 years, I would say. And in quiet times, I think about it and I work on lyrics. And I actually think that after Mike writing so many songs, I'm getting better. And I'm getting in my mind, someday I'm going to finish the song. And we'll see. It'll be better than it was 30 years
ago. Certainly one way to get better is hang out with someone who's doing it.
I become very critical. And when I listen to other people, I, you know, hear things and I, you know, will talk about it or talk about someone, not in a mean way, but just like, you know, dissecting a song, you know, we'll talk
right,
about
it. Yeah, just tearing it apart. But that's usually a good first step to being, you know, the next step is, I want to do it myself now.
We'll see. But right now, I work on trying to create videos which will, you know, enhance the experience of the song.
You guys post on TikTok?
I don't think we tried. We haven't figured out how to quite make it play on TikTok. I don't know.
That, you're technologically challenged here.
I have to
Facebook
talk to
is about
my grandnieces.
As sophisticated as we've gotten.
I have to get them to explain it to me.
Yeah.
There's just so many channels nowadays, you know? Too many channels.
Too many channels. Yeah. Not enough time. Okay, I think I'm hearing the band. I think that's all the time we have on the show today. It's been Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Mike and Barbara Borak of New Middle Class. So where can our listeners find out more about you and hear some more tunes?
The easiest place to go is to our website, which is newmiddleclass.com. And, of course, all our stuff is streaming everywhere, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, YouTube.
Facebook, it's New Middle Class Music.
Yes.
And Instagram, I think it's the same. Yeah.
You got on the social medias. Do you share anything about your process about behind the scenes information, anything like that?
I do. I have a blog that talks about what we do in the studio.
Okay. Cool.
Awesome.
Very nice. Excellent. Okay. Definitely send our listeners over there to the website, and we want to hear from you too. So please send us your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. And subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to everyone who supported us so far. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup, whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups. It's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Visit songtalk.ca/meetup to register. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
PhilEmery.ca.
And Mike and Barbara, I think you already said Facebook is the place to find you guys on socials.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Be sure to follow them there. And be sure to send us a message, feedback@songtalk.ca. And stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in, and
keep on writing.